And we send out about, I would say, an average of 3,000 tapes a month all over the United States and other places. In fact, we have some visitors here tonight. Actually, everybody's kind of just, we're all together. We don't really look at you as visitors. You're just as welcome as can be here. And I've often prayed that the Lord would help me to have some kind of an inroad into the Amish people, and because I have a lot of respect for them in so many ways. And here we have some with us tonight. They listened to the tapes, and God brought them here. They had listened to, I believe it was the Mark of the Beast tapes. Amen. And we're so thankful. I told them just before the service that we have just many, many hundreds. I think if we really added them all up over the years, we've got thousands of tapes. So we got cabinets full of them downstairs, and so afterwards they want to check that out. And we're going to do that, send some back with them. So we're so thankful to have you. God bless you. And we're going to have a Bible study tonight. I did want to mention that we're going to process the latest newsletter, the September issue, tomorrow afternoon and on into the evening. If anyone would like to help us, we'll have a dinner downstairs, and we have a lot of work to do. So we're going to try and get that all processed and mailed by Friday. And we have about 4,600 of them to process. So that's close to 20,000 pieces of paper going through there. So anyway, we could use your help. So if you have time and you want to serve the Lord with that, come on in. We can use you. Amen. All right. Next Wednesday, I will not be here. So I just wanted you to know that. We're going to have a prayer meeting. There won't be any preaching or teaching, but you're welcome to come and pray. And that's very necessary, because I believe in the power of prayer. I'll be gone Wednesday. That's the only day I'm going to miss. I will be gone from Sunday afternoon until Friday. We'll be up in Sister Bay, Wisconsin. Also, I was asked by these gentlemen back here if I'd be willing to come and speak to their group, and I would be more than willing to do that. God bless you. Amen. Just let me know when and where, and we'll work that in. Amen. I've traveled all over the United States and bringing the end time message to people, and I believe that's the calling God has given me. I do teach and preach on a lot of things, but it's mostly about end time things because He's getting us ready. Amen. And as you look around, very few people are going into that subject. And people are walking around in oblivion. They don't understand what's going on. Churches have people in them that don't have the foggiest notion about what is about to happen. And the ministers aren't telling them. Many times they don't know and don't care. But I take the Word of God very, very seriously. And we're going to look at a subject tonight. We're going to have, I think it's going to be a Bible study. I don't know yet. I might preach. I don't use notes. I just say what the Lord tells me to say, and I don't know what I'm going to say next. I've done that for years and years. So we trust that the Spirit of the Lord will flow here and bring forth His Word. And the next thing I'd like to do is just pause for a moment and ask for His help, because I know that without Him, I can do nothing. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, we humbly approach Thy throne, O God, knowing that we are but men and that within us is no good thing. O Lord, only Thy Spirit, only Thy power has raised us up. And Father in heaven, I pray that Thou wouldst strengthen our faith exceedingly. Help us now to receive Thy Word. Let it come forth. Let it sink deep down into our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to worship Thee, for Thou art the living God and there is none else. Thou hast all power. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst help us to understand the nearness of Thy coming, the lateness of the hour. O Lord, let Thy Word be precious to us that we might receive it, O God, that we might embrace it, O Lord, and follow hard after Thee. For we know that that last trumpet shall sound very soon, and that will end all time. Be Thou with us, I pray, in Jesus' name we ask it, and let the devil now be put to flight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We're opening our Bibles, first of all, to the book of Joshua, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to talk to you on the subject of faith to the 7th power. Now, this is not going to be a message in mathematics. Because when I say faith of the seventh power, I'm not referring to the seven times seven times seven, you know, and on out like that, exponentially on out like that. But it's much greater than that, in fact. Because if you have faith in God, all things are possible. And there's something about that number seven. You know, we read it in many places in the Bible, and we have miracles associated with it. In fact, as we'll find out later in the lesson tonight, we get into the book of Revelation, which we will, the Lord willing, and you will find that that number seven appears many places. But one thing in particular we must pay attention to is that, and that is the seventh trumpet. There are seven of them. And some people wonder, where are we in the scheme of things right now? Where are we in time? You know, the Lord marks time by events, by prophecies, and so forth. And where are we? I believe that we are between the sixth and the seventh trumpet right now. And I believe that that seventh trumpet is about to sound. And as you go through the book of Revelation, there are many question marks that will pop up in your mind. What does this mean? What does that mean? How does that fit in? How does this all go together? And you will find that many times people will take prophecy and they'll put it all way at the end, like nothing has happened yet. But a lot has already happened. A lot is happening. And you can't look at this country and all the disasters in it. And you can, I'm telling you, there is no thinking person that can look at this and say that God is not already judging this country. This country is already under judgment. And it's going to crescendo, it's going to increase. You know, I was in Eau Claire yesterday, and we stopped at a Shopko store over there. And of course, they have these automatic machines where you can check out. Just go over and you do it all yourself. And then there's somebody kind of supervising, just watching there. And I talked to this woman. I said, it's really something to have a machine talk to you. I said, this is really eerie. This is bizarre. Of course, I've heard a lot of machines talk to me. It happens all the time. Try to use the telephone, you get a machine. Where are the people? Problems with machines, they don't have a heart. And they do what they're programmed to do. Well, anyway, this woman said, well, you know, she said, if you think that's something, she said, after the first of the year, this coming January. Now, this is a woman at Shopko in Eau Claire. She said, as of the beginning of next year, Walmart will have in place the checkouts where you just take your cart full of stuff and you walk past it. And it registers everything. You don't have to take it out of the cart. Just throw it in the bag because it's got it all right there. The reason for that is they're using these RFIDs, radio frequency identification devices, that are attached to just about everything. They're on the labels, they're embedded, they're all over the place in products. And when they get near a reader or scanning device, they wake up and they're full of information. Can you imagine getting a cart full of something, a whole big cart full, and just wheel it past, and it has the power to pick all that up and make the transaction and give you a total, and then you have to pay, of course. How far are we from just having to pay with a chip in the hand? And there's no other way to buy anything. How far are we from that? We are looking at such a speed. There's a sensation of speed. Everything's moving faster now. There's an acceleration. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. There is a mark of the beast. Amen. There is a system out there that operates on sixes. 666. We were stunned at first when the universal product code came out, the barcode, because every one has three sixes in it. That amazed us. It's gone well beyond that now. And now the hospitals are working with Verichip, with Applied Digital Solutions out of Florida, and everybody that goes into a hospital is going to have one of those RFIDs implanted under their tricep muscles in the fatty area here, so that they can positively identify you so they don't take off the wrong leg or arm or remove something they shouldn't have or whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, I believe there is a great physician, and he's the one we look to. I'm under a doctor's care. Did you know that? Amen. Amen. The great physician. Praise the Lord. And as has been said many times, I've said it, Brother Siegfried said it from Milwaukee, he was here on Sunday, the only real pill that works is the gospel. Hmm? Amen. Amen. God is a healer. He's a wonder worker. Praise the Lord. And this whole world is dependent on the AMA, the American Medical Association, and they are giving all of their, just like that woman with the issue of blood, she spent all she had and got worse. Spent it all on doctors and got worse and worse and worse. And then the real, true, great physician healed her. She, in faith, reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Virtue flowed from him. Why? She had faith. We're going to take faith tonight. Faith, it's a gift of God. It's not something you drum up from within you. It's not something you talk yourself into. Faith is a gift from God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not that of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It comes from on high. That's like your salvation. Where does salvation come from? Joining a church? No. There's people join churches all the time, live like the devil. Come on. People figure, I walk in a church, I'm a Christian. Well, if you walk in a garage, are you an Oldsmobile? Huh? Same thing, same principle, isn't it? No, it takes the power of God directly from the throne of God to your heart. Some people receive salvation not because of churches, but in spite of them. And all these churches in these last days have become part of Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth, and people refuse to repent. They're not even told to repent. Just keep on coming. Keep on bringing your money. My old grandmother, I'll never forget it. It's always so, so cute. You know, German, very, very German. And she used to always tell me, David, pointed her bony little finger at me, said, David, when you hear those church bells ringing, she said, they're saying, bring Geld, bring Geld, bring Geld. That's what the bells are saying. They bring your money, come on and occupy your spot and sign the little book and you're saved. No, no, it doesn't work like that. Salvation comes directly from the throne of God to your heart. The Lord is calling his people to repentance, to forsake evil. Amen. He didn't come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from our sins. Amen. Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And furthermore, I don't believe you can choose salvation. I believe God chooses us. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you. That makes it clear, doesn't it? Well, that couldn't be any clearer unless the print were bigger. Amen. But people are going on their own separate way. That they're living in sin, living in evil. And I'll tell you what, they are so, because of their ignorance, what does the Bible say? My people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. Jesus said when he comes again, he's not going to come to a world that says, oh, I'm so glad you're here. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Or as we say in German, mit heulen und zähneklappen. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because of the rebellion of man. I'm here to tell you tonight that God honors faith, and we're going to look at faith to the seventh power. I'm going to apply the number 7 in Scripture to faith. You see, I believe there's something special about that number 7. It's God's perfect number. You know, some people will pray and ask him for something, and they said, oh, I got nothing. Well, you know, the problem is we live in this age where you push a button and it's there. People have microwave ovens so they can irradiate their food. People, well, to a great extent, that's true. They push a switch and a light comes on. Everything's instantaneous. So, when they ask God for something, they expect it right now. And I'll tell you what, he operates on his schedule. But how many people have truly prayed in faith, not once, but twice, three times, four, five, six, seven? Not with decreasing faith, but the Bible says we go as Christians from faith to faith. When I'm talking about praying seven times, I'm talking about praying with more faith, not being more disappointed each time, but with greater expectation. I asked him once, and I don't see anything yet. I'll ask him again, because I'm getting closer. Amen. He's showing me things about myself. He's showing me things about the situation. And so I move through faith ever closer to him. And so I keep asking. And it's just something about that number seven. Let's look at it. Here, I was going to teach and I'm preaching to you. Well, here we go. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just following what the Lord tells me to do. The Lord said, don't premeditate, just go for it. Amen. And so, we look at Joshua chapter 6, and we find that the children of Israel came to a city called Jericho. The problem with Jericho is it was a fortified city. It was a powerful city. It had high walls and very thick walls. In fact, the walls were as thick as they were high. And there was no way that you could look at that and figure out a way to take the city. It just looked impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So here's what happens. Oh, we need to remember that, don't we? Okay, it says in Joshua 6:1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So for 6 days, six in a row, they get up early in the morning, go around the city one time. All right? And it says, and seven priests shall bear, how many? Seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day, which day? The seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times. How many times? Seven. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast. You know what? I'm looking for that long blast that's coming. Amen. When that seventh trumpet sounds, it's going to be a long blast and then it's over, folks. Amen. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Amen. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And so they did it. And we know how the story ends, don't we? Around the city they went, one time the first day, one time the second day. The same thing for 6 days. When that seventh day came, they got up early in the morning, they did exactly as God said to do, but they went around it seven times. Those seven priests with those seven trumpets. You see, this is a picture, a type and a shadow in the Old Testament of the end of the world. Because when that seventh trumpet sounds, the cities of the nations fell. You look at all that man has devised and built and all of his great enterprises, they're going to come tumbling down. God's going to flatten and level this whole world. Well, praise the Lord. He doeth all things well. Do I rejoice in that? I rejoice in His promises. I rejoice in His coming. But I can tell you this, that not very long from now, it will happen. The Lord will stretch forth His hand. He will cause that trumpet to sound, and He is going to bring absolute destruction unto this wicked world. Amen. Looks like I lost this light here. Well, who needs it? All right. I think I can still read this anyway. Amen. And so we understand that there's something very special about that number 7. There was concerning Jericho. Amen. And God brought forth His promise, and they took the city. Let's turn over to another place in Scripture. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Kings for just a minute. Amen. And we're going to chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. Now we know what chapter 18 is all about. Elijah the prophet. And where did he, what seminary did he graduate from? Huh? Where did he get his training? The Bible doesn't even talk about him until suddenly he's just, there he is. There was this Elijah the Tishbite. All of a sudden he's there. God called him. God raised him up. Amen. And so Elijah came and he looked at Israel with all their idolatry, all their sin, all their idols of silver and gold, and they had learned to do as the heathen nations did. They began to celebrate the heathen holidays, didn't they? Sabbaths and so forth. They'd be up in the high places, and they were doing human sacrifice, folks. What modern nation would do human sacrifice? Huh? The United States. We kill one out of every four babies by abortion. Abortion is not just a method of killing, it is a ritual. It is a blood sacrifice to the devil. Because the devil demands both illicit sex and blood, and abortion, he gets both. Isn't that awful? And we live in a country that sanctions it by means of a Supreme Court edict. So there's some problems, folks. And so Elijah looked at Israel with all of their sin, and then he cried out to God, and God spoke through him, and he said, there'll be no rain except at my word. 3.5 years went by. No rain. Now, God has power over rain. He can send it or withhold it. You know where all of these disasters are coming from? These calamities? I know where they're coming from. I give the glory to God. Nobody else. Nothing else. I give the glory to God. Amen. We've had some very strange things happen here too recently. We've got, this was just handed to me before the service. Of course, some of you may have heard about this, but we had a flash flood in Death Valley, in the Mojave Desert. Water just swept everything away. They had to close down the whole park. The water was so deep, so much of it in the desert. Well, who's ever heard tell of such a thing? And here we find over in England, there's a little town over there in Cornwall called Boscastle. And it says here, cars were... Oh, by the way, Boscastle happens to be a witchcraft capital. In fact, they have a witchcraft, what they call a museum of witchcraft in Boscastle. Well, they used to have it because I think the Lord took it out. It says here, cars were swept away as water went up to 10 feet high. Houses were ruined, as were shops. The whole thing developed in about 10 minutes. Helicopters rescued 120 people from rooftops, car tops, up trees. Today, villagers are due to be allowed back to see what devastation has happened to their properties. Then it tells about this Boscastle Museum of Witchcraft and all the articles of the druids and the witches that were there, irreplaceable and gone. Amen. You know what it says here? It says that, it's kind of interesting. It says, last night we saw on the TV news that the flood was caused by a massive black cloud that was 40,000 feet high. Now, when the Lord gets angry, he doesn't have any trouble bringing up a cloud 40,000 feet high and taking out a village, especially if it's got a big witchcraft museum in it. He got tired of it and just bang, there it was, gone. Amen. Now I'm telling you something, these things are happening all around the world. We have nations half underwater. Southeast Asia, Bangladesh, 50% of the country is underwater. We've never seen anything like this before. Typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes, all these things going on. God is speaking with a loud voice, and people are turning a deaf ear to him. And that's only going to go on so long, and that's going to be the end of the whole show. Amen. Elijah looked at the wickedness of Israel and cried out to God. He became public enemy number one because he dared to call it like it was. They hated him. The king hated him. King was looking everywhere for him. God was hiding him out. Had the ravens feeding him. Had the brook Cherith there giving him water. Where did the ravens get that bread? That wasn't from some crow's bakery. The Lord provided it. Amen. And so, Elijah was preserved by God, and when the time came, he had a face-off with King Ahab, met him face-to-face, and said, all right, that's enough of all of this. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to go up here, call all the prophets of Baal together, and all the prophets of the groves. See, the prophets of Baal were prophets of the sun god, Baal, and 400 of them. Then there were 450 prophets of the grove, which is moon worship. So you have the male and female element there working together in witchcraft. He said, bring them all together, 950, everyone who had cohabited with Jezebel. Can you imagine? The spirits involved there, the devils involved there. Every one of them had been physically involved with Queen Jezebel. That's how she drew her power. And so Jezebel was out to get Elijah, and so, of course, was Ahab. But Ahab was kind of a wimp, I guess you could say that word. He was a little bit of each, but not enough in either. He just was not running the show. His wife was running everything. She was running him. He was the king, but that didn't matter. It's kind of like Bill and Hillary Clinton. Who was really running the show there? Huh? Yeah. I used to see these signs that said, impeach the president and her husband. But, and by the way, if Mrs. Ketchup gets to be the first lady, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Teresa Hines? Carrie? Worth $500 million? She spent the first 13 minutes of her speech, 13, mind you, talking about herself when she was at the convention there. She plans to run the show. But it doesn't make any difference. This country, you know, if he gets in, or if Bush gets in, everything's going down anyway. And I don't know what the Lord has planned, but I do know this. I'm going to follow hard after him and not put my trust in anything man can, any claim they can make or anything they try to put together, because this nation is already given over to judgment. It's already happening. Nothing is going to reverse it. This is a reprobate country. It is full of every kind of wickedness and evil. People sit there in front of that idiot lantern and watch their pornography by means of cable network and satellite network. You know, three stations aren't enough. They've got to have hundreds of stations so they can flip through all the pornography and all the wickedness that's on there. It's terrible, folks. People are filling their heads, their hearts, with all kinds of abominable things. And Elijah saw this happening way back there. So finally we read of the contest that he held where he went to Mount Carmel. And there he had the prophets of Baal build their altar. And they put their sacrifice on it and they cried out to their God and nothing happened. And so about noon, Elijah began to mock them. Hey, maybe your God's asleep. Holler a little louder. Maybe he went on a vacation. Huh? Maybe he's out to lunch. Come on. And Elijah was giving them this stuff, and they were responding by taking their lancets and cutting themselves, throwing themselves on the altar. We're willing to die. They were willing to die for their religion, weren't they? I wonder how many Christians there are who have something they're willing to die for. I'll tell you something. We need to be so dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's given us something they can never take from us. Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body, and after that, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do after that. But I'll tell you whom ye shall fear. Fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. I've had people tell me, yeah, I go to the Catholic Church, or I go to the Lutheran Church, or I go to the Methodist Church, or whatever. I've talked to a lot of different people over the years. And many times they will say, but if I leave that church, who's going to bury me? And I always tell them the same thing. Somebody will. I guarantee you somebody will. Somebody will find a spade somewhere and dig a hole. Huh? But what you should be thinking about is, who's going to resurrect me? That ought to be the question. Am I right with God? Am I going to be at his right hand? Am I going to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Am I going to be there as a son of the right hand, or son of his joy, Ben-Yamin or Benjamin? Son of my right hand, son of my joy. Isn't that right? So, Elijah called out to the Almighty God. Didn't take long. Fire came down. First, though, to really make it impossible, he had water poured all over his altar. All these big containers, and three times. And when God answered by fire, because that was the contest, wasn't it? The God that answers by fire, he is God. Here was Elijah, before it all happened, standing there talking to these people, saying, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. You can't have it both ways. We live in a world where they want to have it both ways. They want to be able to go to church on Sunday or whenever they go, and then go and live the way they want to live, whatever they want to do, ignoring all of God's commandments. But then they go into church, and oh, here, you know, you've all known people like that, haven't you? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I had somebody tell me one time a man actually said, he said to me, well, he said, I go to church for an hour. That's as religious as I need to be, 1 hour a week. I said, how would you like it if God would let you in heaven for 1 hour a week and spend the rest of the time in hell? Huh? But he doesn't do that. You're not going to get there at all. You see? But Elijah the prophet called upon the name of his God, and fire came down from heaven. And it not only burnt up everything, including the rocks, the waterlogged wood, everything burned, even licked up the dust and all the water in the trench that was around it. And the people all began to shout, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. But it still didn't completely solve their problem. They were living in a land that had not seen a drop of rain in 3.5 years. You know what can happen to land in 3.5 years that has not seen a drop of water? Now it was time to rain. And here's what happened. In verse 41 it says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. What did he hear? He said there's a sound of abundance of rain. Did he hear something Ahab wasn't hearing? So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up. See, Ahab was stunned by all this. He was stunned. You know, his problem is he'd been spending too much time with Jezebel. Even though she had a lot of extracurricular things going on, He was under her spell. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." There is what? There is nothing. But he prayed, but there was nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. And he said, "Go again." How many times? Seven times. And it came to pass. Now, you understanding what I'm saying here? Elijah wasn't praying, going backwards in prayer, where he had less faith each time. It was building. Faith will build the prayer. We move from faith to faith. Faith is a point of origin. Faith is a destination. From faith to faith. So we move from the first time we prayed in faith to the second time we pray, where there's more faith. And then we move from the second time we prayed to the third time we prayed, where there's even more faith. By the time you get to seven, faith is perfected. The power of God comes down. Now, some people might say, "But I prayed 20 times, got nothing." Well, you might have prayed 20 times, but which way were you going? From faith to faith or from faith to doubt? "He didn't hear me the first time, I'll try again." Forget it. If you can't move forward in faith, if you can move forward having more faith every time, but I'll guarantee you, by the time you get to seven, there's going to be something happening. "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Amen. And so, seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." Well, what's to get excited about? A little cloud the size of a man's hand? Let me tell you something. That hurricane that hit Florida, that started out as a cloud the size of a man's hand. You know how I know that? Hurricanes start out as just a slight dip or depression in barometric pressure, starting a counterclockwise or anticyclonic swirl. And then it gets a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. And before long, it packs a wallop that'll take cities out. That'll cause $35 billion worth of damage, like it did on the west side or the Gulf side of Florida. $35 billion. And I'm sure that Allstate and Prudential and all of those racketeers really don't like that. Well, you know insurance was a racket, didn't you? Oh, there's so many things we could talk about. But here was this little cloud, and up it came, and it developed into a storm. In fact, it says in verse 45, "And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins." So he took his garment, tied it up so he could run, "and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now God said through Elijah, he said to Ahab, he said, "You better hurry up that the rain stop thee not. Go fast, go, go." And then ran in front of him. And ran in front of the horses. How is that possible? Can you run in the spirit? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was a miracle of God. That man was going. And you know what? It had to be that way. Sure, the king was behind him, you see. And here was the prophet of God leading the way. No matter how fast the king would move, he was going to be faster. It was the Spirit moving him, lifting him, pushing him. All right? That must have been quite a run, huh? Hallelujah. But seven times he prayed, and every time faith was increasing. He knew that cloud would come up. He knew there'd be that drop in barometric pressure. That's all it took. Amen. Now, let's move forward to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel had been crying out to God on behalf of his people who were in Babylonian captivity. Oh, incidentally, if you feel a little bit warm, our air conditioner went out today, and the guy came over and had to order some parts for it, and it'll be fixed by Friday. But it doesn't really bother me too much because I'm generally just hot and sweating all the time anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. But for those of you that really enjoy it, it'll be fixed later. Is it hot in here? Maybe just a little humid. Okay. Well, that's all right. We'll survive it. What'd they do in the old days anyway? Huh? Amen. The Lord helps us. Okay, in Daniel chapter 9, we find Daniel was crying out to God on behalf of the nation of Israel and his people and wondering, how long would it be until this captivity would be over? How long would it be until the Messiah would come? And after he was seeking the Lord, praying, fasting, crying out to God, verse 20 says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Something, by the way, which is sadly lacking in the churches today. You know, it takes God to open the heart and open the mind. "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come." Notice, when did it come? At the beginning of his supplications. Right from the start. Why is it that God, sometimes he'll answer your prayer, but you don't get that answer for a while? He heard you the first time. Loud and clear. But what he does is he puts us through a process of getting us ready to receive what we're asking for. Some people are not ready to receive what they're asking for. Amen. "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70, how many? 70 weeks. Now in the Hebrew, that word weeks there is sevens. There's no word for week in Hebrew. It's translated sevens. And so depending on the context in which you're speaking, it can refer to a week of days, a week of months, a week of years. In other words, a week of 7 years instead of 7 days. And we know this to be true because if we count forward 69 of those weeks of years, we come up with 483 years. That takes us to the baptism of Jesus. Then there's a last week, a final week, a 70th week. And we'll come back to that thought momentarily. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Why is that singular there? The transgression. Adam's transgression. In Adam's fall, we sinned it all, didn't we? And so, it tells us here about a transgression, singular, that would be finished. Why? The second Adam would come and finish it. Taking the first Adam's transgression, all of his descendants, all those transgressions on his own shoulders to the cross to bear them for us. What else would he do? And to make an end of sins. Now that's plural. It started out with a transgression. Now it's sins, plural. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, because iniquity alienated us from God, but there would be an atonement, an at-one-ment atonement, where we would be brought back to God. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. The righteousness that Jesus brings is everlasting. Because it's His righteousness, not ours. How would you like to have to depend on Judgment Day on your own works? Well, there wouldn't be anybody brought to heaven if that were the case. All right? And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. So in other words, everything pertaining to Israel would be filled up in Jesus Christ. The old covenant would no longer exist. Remember, Hebrews 8:13, decayeth and is ready to vanish away. The old covenant would be gone. Only a new covenant would be brought forth, replacing the old one. So anybody who is to be saved must be saved the same way by Jesus Christ, not by their pedigree or birthright or where they think they came from, but whether that person be Hebrew, whether that person be French or from Greece or Germany, wherever. It's all the same way through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. Anybody who tries to come up another way is the same as a thief and a robber. No other way to be saved. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, remember, Jerusalem was destroyed, wasn't it? Nebuchadnezzar had crushed it, carried the golden vessels of the temple off to Babylon. And so he said, and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. So from the time the decree is given until the Messiah comes, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, total of 69. It's broken up because after 7 weeks of years, which is 49 years, they had to stop rebuilding the temple because they had to fight off these marauding tribes that Satan had sent in that were trying to stop them. Read it in Nehemiah. Okay, then you find the other weeks added in there, total 69. It says 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 plus 7 is what? 69. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself. So when you get into that 70th week, notice 69 are completed. Now watch the next verses when we get there. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Now the Romans did that, didn't they? And the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So the Romans crushed that city and that temple in 70 AD. But watch this. Verse 27 says, and he shall confirm, who is he? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who's the only one who could keep the old covenant? Jesus Christ. The old covenant was kept. All men failed, so God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, put himself under his own law and kept it. He fulfilled that covenant. But nobody else could. And then he brought forth a new covenant whereby we could enter into that by his righteousness, by his completion of the old covenant and fulfillment of it, a door opened for us into his new covenant, the power of his blood, the saving power of his grace, and that's how we're saved. So yes, he confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of that week, how old was he when he was crucified? Remember, his ministry was 3.5 years. When he was baptized, he began to be about 30 years old. That's a half a week, isn't it, of years, when he was crucified. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, I realize there are expositors that will tell you that that's the Antichrist who comes and stops the Jewish people from sacrificing. Oh, no, no, no. God will never accept animal sacrifice because his own son was already sacrificed. You see? And he put an end to animal sacrifice forever, forever, forever. It was Jesus who caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease. By his own sacrifice. Now, these other people put that, they attribute the work that Jesus did, they attribute that to the Antichrist, which is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That's Schofieldism. All right? No, it was Jesus who stopped the sacrifice. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Who was it that said to them, your house is left unto you desolate? Remember, Matthew chapter 23? Even until the consummation. How long? Until it's all over. So some people say God will once again return his attention to physical Israel. No, no. This is until the consummation. Amen. You know how Israel's saved today? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So God's going to pour out judgment continually upon the desolate. And this world is desolate. This whole world. And God's pouring out his wrath. Now, if I can do this, let's turn quickly over to Revelation. And we are going to look briefly at chapter 10. That number 7, 70 weeks, 70 sevens. In the midst of the week, in the midst of the sevens, Jesus was sacrificed. Halfway through the final seven, the ultimate seven, the 70th week, in the midst of that week, in the middle of the sevens, he went to the cross. Amen. You might say, well, where's the rest of that? What's the other half of that week? You can follow it right up to the stoning of Stephen. Amen. That ended the 70 weeks. Because if you ever read Acts chapter 7, he lists the whole history of Israel. Told them they were proud, stiff-necked. They were worshiping their god, Kayan, and the star of their god, and so forth. Remember how he did that? And then they stoned him to death. That was it. That was the end of the testimony to a physical nation. And that opened the door for not only the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, and all the others. It opened the door for their salvation by the new covenant. So that took care of that 70th week. But watch Revelation chapter 10. I'm going to move rather quickly through this. It says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, how many thunders? Seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and stand upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. When would time end? When would the calendar and the clock become obsolete? What would trigger that event? What would it be? It says in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which one? When he shall begin to sound. No wonder Jesus said, when ye see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads and look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, we are well past the beginning of those things coming to pass. Well past it. And he said, we ought to be looking up. The mystery of God should be finished. When? When that seventh trumpet sounds, it's over, folks. If they try to tell you that Jesus came yesterday and he's over and sitting talking there to Bush or something or whatever they got him doing, if there's a next day, it wasn't him. Everything's going to stop. Time is going to stop. Everything that man has built will become worthless instantly. And so the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now isn't that something? He said when the seventh angel begins to sound. The sounding is a process. All right? And you hit a point where as we see a process, when that trumpet would sound, things would happen thereafter that would occupy some time, but when the seventh trumpet sounds, there's no time left. It shuts time off. What can we expect to happen? If you, well, I have to turn my page, you may not too, but in chapter 11, here's what we can expect to happen when the seventh trumpet sounds. And it's about to, folks. You know how I know that? You know, according to the Word of God, there are seven kingdoms, world empires. The first one was Egypt, then Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the kingdom of God. Those are the seven. When Jesus came, he established a kingdom. He said there never will be another one world government. They won't succeed. They'll put up a big image, but remember, the toes are part iron and part clay. There's no soundness in it. All it takes is one hit from the rock and down the whole thing comes. No matter how elaborately it is built up and how much value is put into it, the foundation is clay mixed with iron and they don't mix. And it'll crumble down. And so, we are now in the kingdom of God, the time of His kingdom. Jesus Christ is King of Kings right now and Lord of Lords. And so it says in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. Now here's what you can expect to happen when it sounds, when that trumpet sounds. And there were great voices in heaven. Great voices. Saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. You see, He's eternal. That's why He can fill all three dimensions of time simultaneously. He's the I Am. Always present tense. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations, folks, this is us right now in the world. This is what we're seeing. And the nations were angry. Do we have angry nations? Is there any anger out there to deal with? You know, that president we've got has quite a history. You know, he's under psychiatric care right now. He's taking medicine. And there's a book written by a very prominent psychiatrist, and it is backed up by two other ones, and they did a history on him. And you know, when our president was a young man, young boy, from childhood into the teens, you know what one of his favorite things was doing? He'd catch frogs and put a firecracker in them and blow them up, watch them explode. Now, how sadistic can people be? There's no explanation for that other than it's the devil. Gets into people. And they say he still has those same tendencies and hostilities. And a whole book has been written that verifies it. You'll read this in the Last Trumpet newsletter. By the way, the September issue is finished early. It's here tonight. It's in these racks here in the front and in the back. And we have, I just folded 4,600 of them today. And we're going to process those tomorrow night, as I mentioned earlier. But they are ready. You can take them with you. We have more and we can print more. So take whatever you need. The nations were angry. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And that's precisely what they're doing. And the last verse, something else that happens as a result of that seventh trumpet sounding. I can just feel faith in the number seven as applied to these things. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. We're talking about the end of this present world. Folks, it's upon us. The signs are everywhere. May God help us to be ready. And may we learn from this lesson that we go from faith to faith. The faith, the power of faith, and that at number 7 when it's applied. Faith to the 7th power. Think about it, study it, and keep reaching out to God. Never quit praying. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for thy word, which is the foundation of our faith, and I pray that thou wouldst guide and direct us and help us. Let thy name be glorified and exalted, O God, and let thy word work mightily within us. O Lord, let it be multiplied within us. Let us go from faith to faith, ever increasing in faith. And O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst let thy power of thy salvation abide within our hearts and keep us ready for thy soon coming. Let thy will be done. Let the evil one have no power to hinder us, but help us to walk in the way everlasting. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's just sing a chorus, and then I'm opening this place up as a house of prayer. God bless you. Amen. We'll sing that chorus, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever."
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Yes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And God bless you and be with you in Jesus' name. Amen.